For 25 years, Mike's has been making lemonade the hard way. Mike's Hard Lemonade. Hard days deserve a hard lemonade. Mike's is hard, so is prison. Don't drive drunk. Premium all beverage with flavors. All registered trademarks used under license by Mike's Hard Lemonade Company, Chicago, Illinois.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive, where drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. Plus, auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Quote now at progressive.com to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May of 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
There's no place to escape to.
This is the last podcast
on the left.
Side stories.
Live from your glade.
That's when the cannibalism started.
Side stories. Yes.
Do you think that Tom Petty and Stevie Nicks ever dated?
No, I don't think they ever did. But now that I think about it, they make a cute couple because she's so flowy and he's so
sticky.
I'll just wear my dungarees.
He's a sticky.
She's flowy and he's sticky.
But he's dead.
RIP Tom Petty.
But listening to Stop Dragging My Heart Around, I just feel the tension. And the whole time being like, oh man, I wish they had just kissed.
Well,
and
but
this
that
is
would...
just called, what I call this is COVID theater.
Yeah.
In my mind, where I'm just so
right.
unbelievably bored.
Mm.
I just spill out. I just imagine him kissing. Like I'm like I'm the editor of Tiger Beat for classic rock for people that are 55 years old.
Uh-huh. Absolutely. Old Tiger Beat. I think that that would make a great couple. Stevie Nicks, I mean, she did not have a good time because she had to bone what? That Lindsay Buckingham. Lindsay Buckingham is disgusting. Tom Petty is much better. Although the reason that Fleetwood Mac had such tension in their songs
because of all the
human centipeding.
Yeah,
that whole band was one at some point in the night.
It's weird when you go into a room with everybody you're playing instruments with and everybody knows what everybody's dick and pussy looks like. I guess that's what the theater community was.
And you can imagine because of the way that they played, it must have been quite odorous as well. They gave it their heart.
They really did. But honestly, hopefully Stevie Nicks, when she dies, she can go up to heaven. With Tom Petty, I don't want to curse
say it,
but hopefully in heaven they can finally make love to each other.
Well, I think that would be wonderful. Welcome to Side Stories, everyone. I am Ben, hanging out with Henry.
Sure.
Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, some fantastic songs, but you're right. Did they have the same emotional strain that Fleetwood Mac had?
No.
Because can you imagine Tom Petty having sex with all of the Heartbreakers, mostly large men? I don't think it would have resonated the same musically as Fleetwood Mac with beautiful Stevie Nicks hanging out.
Yeah. And I took the bass player out and we went to Shoney's last night.
That's right, Tom.
He ate as many corn pops as I could watch him go. And I was like, get your money's worth, Tom. Get your money's worth. But honestly, he was horrible to fuck.
Really? Yep. So you fed Tom Petty?
Not a woman.
You fed Tom Petty a bunch of corn pops and had sex with him and it wasn't good for music.
Wasn't good. Too skinny for me.
That's good. Well, at least don't give him the Subway tuna fish sandwich.
The only reason why I'm bringing this up because it seemed to be what was brought to my attention that there was a deafening silence from you specifically, Kissel, on this issue. And the fact that it has come
about?
Out.
I was talking about it.
According to Snopes, you know it's legit.
Uh-huh.
They're saying it is uncertain whether or not this is real or not. Subway sandwich chain is currently the subject of a lawsuit saying that their tuna contains no actual tuna.
So many things going on.
Or fish of any kind.
So many things going on right now in the world and so many reasons to actually fire lawsuits down the pipe against large corporations.
Mm-hmm.
This, I don't know because I have had the tuna sandwich before. I'm not going to say it's my favorite. I'm not going to say it's horrible.
My tuna sandwich order, which I used to do at
you've
Subway.
You've told me this. It's disgusting.
I get the tuna sandwich. I get it full up and I say, put an extra lump. Because, you know, they always do three lumps. I want four lumps. And they'll sometimes do it. And then,
I think that's what Dustin Diamond said when he went to the doctor. And now, R.I.P. We love you, Dustin.
Honestly, we love you, Dustin.
I can't believe. Complicated life. He was a human, was he not?
He was more human than most. And honestly, if Jesus wasn't fake, wouldn't it be nice?
Well, Jesus never sinned, they say.
Jesus loved the complicated person.
Yes, he did.
Jesus, the character, loved a complicated person. And yes, Dustin, if you, wherever it is that you go next, hopefully they're laughing.
Absolutely. They will be laughing. And I hope they treat you better than A.C. Slater did.
Wow.
Because you look at what happens when you're traumatized in high school.
They abandoned him.
Yes, he was very good at chess, but did they give him respect? No, they did not.
No. Apparently he was a massive problem on set.
Yes, he was quite annoying on set.
Mm-hmm.
But we do have to also look in talking about investigative reporting regarding Subway sandwiches, which we'll get back to in a second. But what's in the hamburgers at Max's? At the Max, of course.
Human meat.
Human meat. Perhaps that caused the Dustin Diamond cancer, which is why he's no longer with us, R.I.P.
To be honest, I think that the cancer had something to do with the fact of the water where he lived in the middle of Michigan. Yep, he lived in the middle of Michigan.
No, that's
the worst water in the world. No, I thought he was in Michigan.
He may have done the full Midwest journey.
He might have.
Yeah.
And then also, apparently, this is a little bit of a dog whistle to Holden McNeely. This is true. He apparently had a lump on his neck that he didn't check for like a year. And it turned out that was an extension of thyroid. Like, basically, he got a tumor on his... It was a tumor. It was a tumor.
Oh, no.
On the side of his neck, but he was afraid to get it checked out, and that's why it's important for you to get a GP if you can afford it, if you can have insurance.
What's
and go
a
to
GP?
A general practitioner and get your body checked, because also Holden McNeely should think about the fact that he's growing eggs right now.
Oh,
but back to Subway.
Okay, well, check out Holden on Wizard and the Bruiser. Don't just think about he for his lumps. But yes, let's talk tuna.
Now, this is, according to Subway, this lawsuit came out, and they said, according to a quote-unquote independent investigation, which is, again...
By the way, the only time Kissel and Zabrowski Incorporated would ever be called on an independent investigation would be for this. And I'd be like, okay, we better go to Subway. We got to two different footlongs, Henry. You're in charge of licking the tuna, and then I'll gauge it. I'll gauge how much you liked it and see if it's real or not.
I'll tell you if it's tuna or not about whether or not I have a seizure when I'm eating it. Now, this guy, apparently, this was like a long... fucking, this was a big old like operation.
This person was really upset.
They did several independent tests of multiple samples sold at different locations, and they showed, according to their research, the absence of tuna or even a fish protein.
All right, so then the question must be, what is it? Because you're getting something plopped on your fake bread that is also, I believe, made of yoga mat equipment. But you know what? That's what gives it the flavor.
It's not real bread. It's not real tuna. You are eating pure imagination. That is pure American imagination, is when you hold that foot long, which is more, which honestly is 10 inches.
Yeah.
That is another lie sold to you.
This is how we got to Trump.
But listen. While, yes, it did lead the slippery slope to the, the dumb fuck fascism that we almost got. but the guy, can't believe it. These sandwiches. Okay.
Oh, wow. You're getting really serious.
I am. Because I defended HPB when we talked about Helena Blavatsky.
Yes,
and
of course.
And I defend up to a point people like Anton LaVey. These ideas of up to a
Magical thinking.
Yes. And the idea of sometimes you're buying a package, and the package is what makes you feel something.
Like when you go to see John Edwards, not the former politician who had sex with somebody who was documenting his every move in life because his other wife at home was screaming at him all the time. Mm-hmm. R.I.P. Elizabeth.
Sad.
But John Edwards crossing over. You go and you know he doesn't know you, but
it's a show.
Maybe when he's like, my mother did die. Her name was Mary. And maybe he does speak for your mother to you just momentarily enough to make you feel not alone. Is it worth it? Perhaps it is.
I don't know. I feel like the problem is you're taking money from these people. So that's where the lie comes in. That's the problem is that you are taking people's money. You're selling them a lie. If you can have the understanding that it's a show and that con men, these quote unquote magical con people, they run a line that is you buy into the idea of themselves that they are selling. And so
you have
a 50-50 circuit with creating the magic. You're creating a magic moment for yourself.
And also, sometimes if you don't pay, you don't treat it with much respect. Sometimes they say you'll have more fun if you do pay because you've invested.
You've invested. Okay. You're a part of the night. And so you go to a Subway tuna sandwich shop.
You invest your hard-earned money.
You look at it, and it looks like tuna. It smells like tuna.
Yeah, well, let's do it. It smells.
It smells like Subway tuna. You know what I mean?
Okay.
So you're buying this
now,
tuna.
The greatest way to truly smell Subway sandwiches or Taco Bell, bring them into an area or bring them into a place where that sandwich or that cuisine is not sold. Subway sandwich. Have it actually in a New York City subway. Then you smell the tuna.
You really
And then you
do.
Really understand what we're talking about. Sneak Taco Bell into a movie theater. Everyone's going to know that smell of Taco Bell. But you don't, if you're in a Taco Bell, realize
you don't
how
smell
pungent it.
It
is.
Yeah, but then all of a sudden you emerge from a Subway and you reek of whatever their foam bread is or whatever the tuna is. Yeah. But again, you wanted it. You went to the store. You got it. You like the taste of whatever it is. To eating that tuna sandwich, when I got my tuna sandwich, I got my four lumps. I cover it in barbecue chips.
That's
I eat that. But guess what? I am enjoying that sandwich. Is it tuna? Maybe not. But whatever
what
is
it?
I like it.
Well, that's the most... Okay. I'm going to put Fox News' Ben Kissel here.
Wow.
I'm actually going to defend Subway on this.
Oh, God. You're going to fight for the corporations
today? I am
going to
defend Subway.
Thank
First
you.
Of all,
I mean,
they had a small snafu with Jared Fogle. Yes, he lost a lot of weight, but evidently he only lost that weight to look more like a child so he could lure them into his atmosphere. That is very bad.
You have to dress for the job that you want.
I have strangely done some research on the Subway side of this. They say these claims are insane.
What?
And they promise.
How dare. Wow.
They promise that it's all tuna. And they almost went to the extent of sacrificing a tuna on live TV to show us that it is indeed tuna.
They better.
So Subway is letting us know.
They fucking
it's
better.
Tuna.
I'm holding their feet to the flame. Because right here, according to Subway's quote-unquote nutritional information page, which you can put anybody can have a GoDaddy account.
Sure.
It says flaked tuna blended with creamy mayo, then topped with your choice of crisp fresh veggies. But you know what I'm not seeing, honestly, is any quotation marks in there.
Because it is flaked tuna.
If they hit, but you see, the entire sentence in this article is surrounded by quotation marks, because then you could say legally they got you because it's still only quote-unquote tuna.
What
the tuna,
is it?
The tuna also, they say they do confess and contains an additive to protect flavor. Because you got to protect that flavor.
And
it
what
needs
a great
service.
And what a great flavor mayonnaise and salt is. Because that is all
That's
that
what
it
like.
Is. But true talk. Okay. Let's just for a second fantasize it's not tuna.
Yeah.
What is it then? What is in the. We just get the dollops on our little sandwich, but in reality, there's tubs that get delivered every day
big
tubs, huge tubs
of whatever it is. Yeah.
To fill our big tubs as an American people, it's massive. So what is it?
Honestly, if long as.
I mean, I'm scared. Like, to me, it is so much scarier. Is it soy? Why would it be soy? I don't think it would be. Is it human flesh?
I do this powerful thing where anytime one of these like troubling questions come up, I just delete them. Like I just sit there and I just go like.
Question no one's asking.
Of course no. I mean no one's.
Is it
just
human?
We're all deeply afraid to ask. Well, if it's Republican senator, I'll buy fucking five of these a day.
There can only be 50 of them made.
I mean,
I don't know how much you carve out of every, like, I think of Chuck Grassley, you can flake his skin and you could probably get a good amount of Subway sandwich tuna meat, I guess. But how much can you actually get off of these old farts?
It is 100% grade A American protein flake.
That is the craziest thing about all of it. If we find out it's not tuna, but what's the goop?
Good question.
There's been movies predicated upon this, and you know what it turns out to be.
It's always people. But sometimes it comes from a vat that they discover you didn't know was an alien substance that came from underneath the ground, kind of like with the stuff.
Drowning? Okay, three options. You will drown. You drown in a vat of Subway tuna.
Mm.
You drown in a strong...
Pussy juice, breast milk.
No, not pussy mousse. The amount of... No, not breast milk. You don't get anything you want.
Okay.
Disgusting Rumplemintz.
What is Rumplemintz?
Rumplemintz is that sweet liqueur that you got, but it's very strong.
So you said Subway tuna.
Subway tuna.
So far, yes.
Rumplemintz. Or
I'd eat my way out of the tuna.
You can't eat your way out of it. It's too much tuna. Or Sloppy Joe.
Sloppy Joe.
Yeah, right. Sloppy
All
Joe
right.
it is. Yeah.
This is a fun
I'm a
game.
Sloppy Joe guy too.
Yeah, hell
but
yeah.
Maybe the Rumble Mitts, but then it would really burn the body because
yeah,
of
the liqueur and the alcohol. Yeah. If you have one shaving mishap, it's gonna fucking ruin your night.
Anywho, we'll keep you up to date on going on. And if we find out that it is human remains, we'll definitely let you know. And that'll be finally a bigger scandal than having their spokesperson have sex with a bunch of kids. If we find out they've also been serving us human meat, I'm going to say this. Subway, take a time out.
I think that they, maybe after Jared, I think a lot of things went wrong inside
of Subway.
He's
still just in prison, and he's as fat as his cell now.
He just now, honestly, he's living his quote-unquote best life in jail, just like loving it, just being like, I could just get as fat as his cell.
It's just so much easier to just continue to be the Subway spokesperson, but I guess he wanted to make his life a little bit more difficult. Well, speaking of difficult lives, we've got to talk about this story because this is a bit of a update, a 60-year update, I guess. We're going to Mother Russia, and we're going to talk about the Diddlov Pass. I guess
down,
there's...
Down,
oh,
down.
What?
That was Sisters of Mercy. This comes
what
from
the hell is Sisters of Mercy?
That's one of my goth dance bands I listen to when I'm just trying to feel something inside my house. When I just want to feel what it's like getting fucked, when my emotions are just taken over. By the club.
I always wonder with my friends, like, what's the Venn diagram of similarity that they have with their wives?
Mm.
And I would assume that I could see you and Natalie both dancing to that.
Oh, yeah. Well, she likes her Beyonce.
Oh, also likes some dark, cryptic
she
music.
Likes her, she,
yeah,
likes
she likes to, cause she likes to dance.
Oh, yeah.
And that's very performative.
Oh, yeah. I love to watch it.
Yes, indeed.
This story is from the National Geographic. There has been an update on the Diatlov Pass incident. And how many times people have sent this email? People sent this to us in emails.
Yeah.
And they're all like, this story is wild, y'all. It's crazy.
It is.
But it's not.
What do you mean?
They're saying it's an avalanche.
Wait, what?
Yep. This theory came out a long time ago when
It wasn't an avalanche because of how the bodies were all found and because
this is what
the
I'm
tent
saying.
Was still intact and stuff like that.
They put a lot of other research together.
This whole thing was a fucking avalanche?
Yes. They're saying, know yet, though. They didn't answer all of the questions. Apparently, they got together. The thing that's wild about this is that they reopened the case. They got together with the people that created the snow animation for Frozen because this guy that was a snow expert. Expert, which so just sounds weird. Like what you call your guy in Miami.
Yes, I think that's our financial advisor is a snow expert.
But they went and they teamed up with him because they thought it was so realistic the way they portrayed snow in Frozen that they did these analytics. They basically put all of these kind of things together of how, because the... when it was originally researched by, or was originally investigated by the Russian government, they said avalanche. And everyone's just like, oh, yeah, it's an avalanche.
Oh, we can't believe
King of fucking cryptic secrets, Russia. Sure, yeah, it's an avalanche.
Absolutely. This is the 1970s. We're supposed to expect, what is this, Brezhnev coming out of the Kremlin? I'm not sure if he was in charge there. But either way, we can't trust anything they say.
We really can't. But they came out with this other story, basically. Now that they reopened the case, they're saying it was a tiny avalanche that kind of breaks down. They broke it down and it kind of makes sense, but they also still don't answer the other questions that everybody else has the questions to, which is like, why do they remove all their clothes? Why
yes.
did the one guy have his tongue fucking bitten out of his
yes.
mouth? Why did the other people why were they cut open? But what they're saying is it was an avalanche that hit. There was like a way to show that essentially they were on what was a 30-degree slope, which is apparently the minimum degree slope for an avalanche. A tiny avalanche done by
a baby avalanche,
and that they straight up, they have this science thing where they're saying that avalanches can be delayed, that you basically they set up and that an avalanche can happen hours later, especially if there's a seismic event or something like that causes it.
Be a big fart eating a Subway tuna sandwich.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. God, it must have been so difficult to have you as a high school student.
Oh, I was horrible. I was in the back of the class constantly and in college.
And in the front of the class, that's how fucking long you were when you're laying down. I hate everything. I hate everything. I'm ready to disappear.
It wasn't horrible.
But they said a tiny earthquake could have happened hours later. The concussive force could have been the thing that caused all their internal injuries. But then still, they escaped in the middle of the night when the avalanche happened. Some succumbed to their injuries from the avalanche. Some got hypothermia, which is why they took off all their clothes.
Good, yeah.
Some of them then were devoured by animals, but it's a lot of different things. They just are saying they just now think for certain it is that at least part of this was a tiny avalanche.
Well, let's blame it on the Yetis.
Yep.
See how easy that is? Let's
that
just blame
done.
It on the Yetis
it's
instead
done.
Of the avalanche. And now their theory is completely debunked by Ben frickin' Kissel. Also, it was 1959. That's when the expedition began. And we know a lot about the expedition because one student, he was a 23-year-old engineering student, Igor Ditlov, he had to turn back because he had joint pain. So isn't that nice? Arthritis can save a life.
It can. It really can.
Yes, it can. It was a large tent they pitched, apparently. And, of course, the mountain, it can be named or interpreted as Dead Mountain,
but
which is cool.
Now that's mostly got to do with cell phone signal. But they are, they don't know.
Okay.
So it continues to be an I don't know. So I know that it was exciting, and it seemed to be exciting, but then upon reading it, and I know that there are scientists out there that are like, it is exciting, I love avalanche science. I understand that maybe up to a point it was exciting for you, but for me, it's not.
Well, according to Freddie Wilkinson, he says people love to invent implausible scenarios
about
the death in
the wilderness.
Yeah, because
they're more exciting than other bad ones, than the dumb ones.
Yes, well,
like the real ones.
An avalanche can be kind of exciting. There's been certain movies based upon avalanches, and then, of course, you see all the
Dante's
snow.
Peak.
Yes, and we all love Dante. That was also about his hairline. There is 9 people dead, 7 men and 2 women.
And we're never getting them back.
I guess if you have to die in nature, avalanche... Not the worst.
They said the main thing, the reason why that longtime people said that they didn't think that they died from an avalanche was because of the concussive injuries, because their heads were battered and their ribs were broken. But they're saying if a 30-foot shelf of ice fell on them, it might have done that.
Oh,
but
that
they don't
would
know.
Hurt.
But the normally with an avalanche, you die of asphyxiation. You fucking choke to death inside of the snow.
That makes sense.
Sounds like a fucking nightmare.
Yeah, it doesn't sound very fun. At some point, you'd get so cold you can't feel anything, though. I guess.
My sister is the best gift giver I've ever met of any person. It's Jackie Zabrowski. She shops all year thinking about her family and friends and puts little things aside for their birthdays and Christmases. I have no idea how she does it. I don't know how she do it. But guess what? She always wins Mother's Day, but not this year. I'm coming back. Ready to win Mother's Day and cement your reputation as the best gift giver in the family? I'm taking the crown! All right, give the moms in your life an Aura digital picture frame preloaded with decades of family photos. I mean this. We have the Aura frame up in my home. We absolutely love it. I can put photos on it very, very easily through the app. It's fun to do. And the memories keep cycling and I get emotional. And we filled it with pictures of Carmi and Wendy. And that is not sad. That is celebratory. So you should try it. It's honestly a really good product. Right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code LEFT at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply.
Ah, Jules. Oh, Jules. Make a wife smile today. The road to getting engaged can be long and full of memories and pitfalls and landmines. Or it can be short and thrilling, like a roller coaster on the way to the police department. But the road to finding the perfect engagement ring is a straightforward path every time. All you've got to do is head over to BlueNile.com and they're going to ship them rocks straight to your wife's new fingers. On BlueNile.com, you can create a bigger, more brilliant piece than you can imagine. At a price you won't find at a traditional jeweler, Blue Nile is the original online jeweler since 1999. That's present time to me. Their diamond price guarantee means that in most cases, they can meet or beat a competitor's price on a comparable diamond. I know when I got my wife a beautiful Blue Nile necklace, the first thing she did was, what did you do? But afterwards, she was so happy to have it, and she loved it, and she wore it when we went on vacation, and my own, did everybody come around being like, where'd you get that piece, you beautiful woman? And I was like, stop talking to my wife. She's spoken for. You can see it with the Blue Nile bling she's got on her. Right now, get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more with code LASTPODCAST at BlueNile.com. That's $50 off with code LASTPODCAST at BlueNile.com. BlueNile.com.
No matter what kind of work you do, how you communicate is key. All those emails, reports, and presentations are equally important to the collaboration needed to get things done. And Grammarly can help. Grammarly is your AI writing partner to help you communicate more effectively and efficiently so you can make a bigger impact at work. And isn't that what matters most? Better writing means a stronger impact. Grammarly works across 500,000 apps and websites. You can't escape it. Like the ever-pervasive octopus of malice that is the NSA. Grammarly is watching your every move, making sure that you're doing it right. Data privacy and security are woven into the foundation of Grammarly, into the very essence of its nature. Grammarly is a secure AI writing partner, and it helps your team make their point and move faster, because that's the key there. Work smarter, not harder. Yes, Grammarly. You know how many times it saves me from writing a long, rambling, one-sentence email at 4 o'clock in the morning to my beloved employees? Makes me sound like someone who doesn't just have a BA in theater. All right, I was taught how to be a tree. I was not taught how to survive as an adult. All right, my job was to cry in front of a weird Southern man who just told me all sorts of weird stuff about my body. I didn't learn how to write. So thank you, Grammarly, because you're making me the boss I gotta be to motivate my team to get out there. And, oh, man, you don't want to mess with them. Thanks, Grammarly. Make a bigger impact at work with Grammarly. Sign up and download for free. Grammarly.com/podcast. That's Grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said, done.
All right. Well, speaking of not feeling anything, let's move on to murderers.
I love, again, we're all stuck inside.
Are you trying to make excuses for the next story?
We're stuck inside.
That's not an excuse to kill anybody. That's an excuse to play too many video games or maybe eat too much pork chili, which evidently is normal. Thanks for all the tweets. Everyone loves pork chili.
It is very good if you make it right. It's a white chili. A nice white chili.
It's disgusting.
From the fatherland.
Okay.
Now,
this story
comes from the Daily Mail, so you know it's legit. You know it's one of our favorite, most trusted news sources here on Side Stories. This story
Conversations about crisps, they are the best.
They really are, and we're all stuck inside, and then sometimes, you know, with these pornos, everybody's having sex with their family, so maybe it's becoming normal. You know what I mean? To this,
well, it is on that. But the thing in the porn, again, they're not really family members.
They're not.
Just so you know, it's still illegal. Don't have sex. I don't know if it's illegal to have sex with your step-siblings.
I don't know. Not today. This story, these people went ahead and did that. This is called Woman Pleads Guilt. This story goes, woman pleads guilty to murdering her sister's boyfriend by injecting him with homemade meth, strangling him, burying him, digging him back up, and then dismembering him in a 6 Valentine's Day incest plot that was set up so that the sister could marry the father.
So she did this out of love for her sister?
You say love, I'd say lust. She was set up. Anna Marie Chowdhury. I'm not even going to fucking try to fucking pronounce her
Chowdhury.
Her sister Amanda McClure and their father Larry. Now, Larry McClure. They all took part in killing Amanda's boyfriend, John McGuire. In February 2019, they were all at Larry's homes in Sky Gusty, West Virginia. I don't know why I thought this was a West Virginia story, but I knew it.
Well, Sky Gusty, that's one of the better places to visit there in West Virginia.
So the story is that straight up, they had that. This is what came from there. They started breaking it down and figured out what the exact story was.
And just to give some insight into the ages of these people, we're talking Anne Marie Chowdhury, 33, Amanda McClure, 31, John McGuire, 38, and the father, a spring chicken at 55 years old, Larry McClure. So these guys, they packed it all in, didn't they?
They really, really did. Now, Larry McClure has been actively fucking his own daughter, Amanda McClure, who is 23 years younger than him,
this
right?
This is a biological daughter.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my.
That is self-made.
That is not what it means to be a self-made man, by the way. That's like you start in Arby's and all of a sudden you franchise it and you're like, wow, I'm king of the beef.
Even though you're you're still dependent on Arby's.
Well.
Now, this comes from Anna Marie Chowdhury. So Anna Marie Chowdhury is the sister, right? So she was, I guess, previously married or something. I don't know why she has a different last name. It's complicated.
Yeah.
But she was dating a guy named John McGuire. So they all, this is the story that finally came out. Amanda finally pled guilty because she was sort of railroaded into this.
Okay.
So here's the story. Amanda and John were living in Minnesota at the time, and they were driving to Indiana when their car broke down. Larry and Anne Marie, they went to collect them and took them back to Sky Gusty.
Okay.
Now, this is on Valentine's Day. John, the boyfriend, he had bought steaks, potatoes, and a bottle of wine for him and Amanda to have a nice romantic meal.
Ooh, nothing says romance like potatoes.
It does if you do them right with a gratin. I don't know what it's like in Sky Gusty. I don't know what the potatoes are like, but I hope they're fancy.
Steak, potatoes, and wine. Fancy night in.
It is, but you can just imagine if you look at the two of them, what a beautiful couple. Then, the only way to describe it is that John McGuire looks like if K-Fed and Bon Jovi had a genetic mix-up and a horrible, horrible Jeff Dunham puppet.
Wow, did you just reference Kevin Federline?
Yes, I did.
I can't believe that I was able to even get the reference.
He's still around.
I guess.
He's still around. So the couple were
now that Brittany is free from her parental controls, perhaps they can rekindle their love.
But think about how fucking majestic this Valentine's Day was. So they're about to have their steak, their potatoes, and their wine. But instead, they were joined by his girlfriend's father and the daughter, right? His
sister. I am so confused.
Right, yeah. So the quote-unquote sister-in-law.
Okay, so what dad... Okay, what is the daughter that the father has had sex with? The daughter that the father is having sex with is now the daughter that is being treated like a queen.
Like a queen.
Getting the steak, potato,
and wine dinner. No,
that's
Amanda.
The opposite. That's Amanda. Okay.
Yes. Okay. So Amanda is at home with her boyfriend. Her sister and her father show up. And
so
they are
their
obviously...
So eating a potato. Thank you.
Literally. Yeah. And I do think at some point, there must have been a hint that daddy and daughter were like there was tension. It was sexy. It was like Stevie Nicks and Tom Petty in the recording studio, right?
In your imagination, yes.
Yes. And so they've been having fun. They were all having fun, right? They bust in. This is Valentine's Day. So they've been having fun until Amanda, she had this like funny idea for a game where she would prove this is a weird game.
Oh,
and she said
God.
That, hey, I can untie myself from anything.
Oh,
this is like a sexy game. Can you imagine playing this sexy game with your father and your sister and your boyfriend? So they decided to, because earlier that day they had made some homemade meth, because this is when they said, Anne-Marie said, this is when things started to get strange.
Okay. First of all, you don't have to clarify homemade meth. There's no other way to make it.
You could have gotten from
Walmart.
Somebody else. You could have gotten from, you know.
Oh, I suppose.
Who
okay.
knows? So they got to, so for some reason, they decided to all tie up John. Right, John became the subject.
So John
it shifted
so that
to John.
Could, okay.
No. They just had. We should have this like fun tie down game.
So they're full of steak, full of potatoes, half drunk on wine, and full of crystal meth. Now,
not yet.
Okay.
So they tied up John. Right, he sat down and he said, "I don't know." And he said, she said it was a grin that I'll never be able to describe. But as John sat, because I think he thought he was about to have sex with the girlfriend, his sister, and then the father would just be there watching from the corner, right?
Wait,
this
so
is West Virginia, and meth. This is a lot of meth romance happening.
So the victim, the future victim, is now tied up with the daughters and the father, and
yes.
This is the father of both of the women.
Yes. So,
okay.
So John is now. He has been. They tied him up. And they were about
so
to.
So the
they
dad
had him,
is going
to
cuck out theoretically.
Let me describe.
Okay, please, God.
So John has sat down. He's tied up, right? But it all happened so quick. So Amanda stood up. This was the girlfriend.
Uh-huh.
And she bashed him on the back of the head with the fucking wine bottle.
Well, why
right?
did she do that?
We're going to get to it. And the next thing I know is that John had reared up. He was leaning up against a wall. He was holding his head. And that's when Larry looked at me and told me if I knew it was best for my children and wanted them to live, I would follow all instructions that were given to me from now on, right? So she said, this is how Anne-Marie, so she was just kind of a part of this whole shit.
And Anne-Marie is the girlfriend of the dad who is also the dad's daughter.
Yes.
Okay.
They got together. They started torturing John all night by beating him with sticks and standing on him, doing the same. But apparently they had been all they didn't know that up until this point, they had all been doing meth all day. The father, Larry, was convinced that John was a federal informant. And he kept demanding to know who he was. He said that he's going to tell on all of us.
Now, what would he be telling?
I have no fucking clue.
Okay.
And so,
well, do we know, did he not cook the potatoes properly? Not well done, or?
I don't know.
I would assume these are well done steak people for some reason.
Yes,
ketchup steak people.
I do assume that, but I guess they did it because they thought that it was the only way for the father and the daughter to finally marry each other.
So he was thinking, this guy is in between the love that I have with the daughter that I created, so we have to kill him. And in order to do that, we also have to torture him a bunch, and we have to do meth.
But then they were going to give him this like shitty meth that they had made that morning that hadn't crystallized yet. So they gave him the meth, but instead of it killing him with an overdose, it instead made him stronger.
They gave him the ooze.
So he started fighting and struggling. So eventually she was forced to, by her own father, according to her, put a plastic bag over his head until he was dead.
Oh, all right. Apparently to prove he was dead as well, they drove bed nails through his body with a sledgehammer. And did a whole series of brutal cuts and different types of things to make sure he was dead. He was. And wow, I don't know if you're an... this is where, again, I do have respect levels, definitely when it comes to detectives. If you walk into this crime scene, you're looking at a dude tied up, injected with crystal meth, found with bed nails and dead, and then... a dad, daughter, and then,
I am now clear on this fucking twisted Ozarks level plotline.
Okay.
Amanda, it wasn't Anne-Marie, the sister. The girl with the boyfriend was the one who was having an affair with her own father. All of this shit was set up. So she was fucking her own father.
So she,
all of this was done.
Okay, so if you are having sex with your own father out there and you want to break up with your boyfriend, you
just
don't
do
have
it.
To kill him. You just tell him that. And then everyone will leave.
He'll leave.
You will have your father, but no one else. And I mean, I'm looking at the family, and I've not seen it. I don't fully see the charm.
The heat. You don't know why Amanda and the father would just fucking so ready to pull each other's clothes off.
The victim, John McGuire, honestly, he is the most normal looking of all of them. He looks like he really, really enjoys West Coast choppers. And as soon as he gets enough money, he's going to buy his favorite one.
Hey, man, he's not.
Whatever.
Now.
All good. And then Amanda actually looks kind of, that's the scary.
She looks normal.
And then the dad just looks like someone who has to eat when his teeth are put back in. He looks like he's really kind of an aggravated
He looks like
soul.
One of the people that Travis finds on TikTok all the time, where just an old man making cunnilingus tongue.
Yeah, and talking about Donnie. And he is only 55 years old, Mr. Larry McClure. Although I have to say, maybe having sex with your own daughter ages you twice as fast, because he looks about 110.
I mean, this is not the only COVID shenanigans that's going on. This comes from, this is another story that is interesting.
And just lastly on this one, they are all looking, now they are in the sentencing phase, because obviously this happened last year, and they are all looking at around 40 years in prison. And so you can just imagine.
They brutally murdered a man.
Yeah.
This story comes from, this next one's another one, which is being like, we're in COVID. Doesn't have anybody just, can't people just fucking calm down for a second?
Well, I think it's making people much less calm than ever.
This comes from the TB Daily News. Stinnett police chief gets caught cheating on wife after both mistresses he proposed to discover each other on Facebook and unravel his lies.
It's really unfortunate that you can no longer, maybe it's fortunate, maybe it's unfortunate. It's definitely unfortunate for people who would like to live a double life. The double life can no longer be done.
The double life.
It cannot be done.
It's much more difficult to be done, but
it's
definitely way more difficult to do when you constantly declare that you're in relationship with another person on Facebook.
Jason's also not just a sheriff. He's also an ordained minister. So you can tell this guy.
Ordained minister.
Well, you are something ordained. You are. Yes. In a different sense. I don't think he went to the Church of Satan to get his.
No. Well,
ordination.
I'm ordained in New York, and that was for Marcus. That was it.
So no weddings in Pennsylvania
for you.
No. All right. So he's an ordained minister. So he's basically, and a sheriff. He is so classic. This is so classic, like setting the stage for like, that's a good normal guy.
Well, it's also
then,
like in Fortune Fire.
Double family.
Fortune Fire, in every episode, when they show someone who, you know, when they do the pre-interviews where they try to show you like, you should care about these people.
I do care about those people.
I do
people.
Too. But when they show that video where it's like every single time it's a man being like, I never give up. My constitution shows that I will never surrender. All I do is I stick in and get tough. And then they always fucking pass out. You know what I mean? They're the ones that always pass out, or like something goes wrong in the thing and they have to be like, I gotta stop. You know what I mean? They always are the ones that give up. So the guy that is supposed
to... I have to say this, in defense of the Forged in Fire, it's very hot in there.
I am not saying it's not difficult, but I'm just saying the editors do them dirty by always singling the parts where they're like, my martial arts training actually allows me to face any obstacle that comes my way.
Well, they don't do that on Blown Away. And by the way, I've gotten many messages thanking me for turning people on to Blown Away. And yes, they say the word glory hole a lot.
Too much. For no one smiles.
No one smiles. They need to smile. I think it's still funny. Okay.
But this guy who's a, so
can I just say this, though,
sheriff,
as well about the two wives?
Yes.
They're very pretty.
Well, that's what he did. The problem is that the old wife was starting to see some wear and tear. So he is still married to this woman who's very sweet looking. He is married to a woman named Opal. They got two kids and two stepkids, right? He is both a sheriff and a reverend, which means he is a professional liar.
Yes.
He ended up in this storyline with this other woman named Cecily, who was very sweet. They got to meet. He started dating in the very, I guess it was in the very beginning of November, 3 weeks later, he started dating this woman on the side, and he proposed to her on Facebook, and she has a full life with him where she's got pictures of them together on Facebook, them hanging out with her kids, her the profile pictures of them kissing together. He showed her a forged document saying, yeah, my former wife Opal, you know, like rest her soul, like doing the National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation thing. He said, where our marriage was annulled, you're gonna take a look at this paperwork. And he sent her a fake piece of paperwork that he just added himself. And if you look at the paperwork that he sent out, this is a forged document. Mm-hmm. These are obviously the same person doing these two signatures.
Yeah, that's pretty obvious. Also, I'm not sure if that's the annulment paperwork. I don't really know
That
looks so like. And I hope never to, actually.
So Cecily, about a week ago, she updated her Facebook profile with a picture of the two of them together, and they're going to spend the rest of their lives together. But then 2 days, it was about five days after that.
You know it's serious here because there's some pictures of them taken in a Starbucks.
That's huge. So because honestly, you reveal the order. You guys have combined orders, and we're like, well, that's what we get.
That's what we get. That is the next level. And this woman, to be fair to Opal, she didn't know.
She had no clue. But
she seems happy as a bug, and she is super thrilled to find her new love.
Absolutely. But what happens? But this is what happens. All of a sudden, about 5 days later, this other woman named Christy Schaefer, she starts posting on the Facebook of the actual sheriff's department where he is, like joking, making funny little things. Cut to two pictures of them at the Starbucks, right? So now there's another person all the way all together, and they have decided they met in December 1st. By December 16th, he said, actually, now you and me are going to get married. Wow. He has a whole other side life.
Well, and Christy Schaefer, obviously, we're not doing Hero of the Week, but she is, every lady needs a friend like Christy Schaefer. She is friends with Cecily, of course,
wife. But they were like friends, but they had that wasn't even the first wife. That's the first girlfriend.
So Christy Schaefer, she put on her sleuth cap, and you know for a fact she's getting to the bottom of this.
It wasn't difficult. He posted pictures of them.
Well, it's still a lot of... That's me typing.
No, she said she saw... No, the pictures came out. It's because Cecily put up a Facebook post of saying, me, my name, my friend. And then she looked at the pictures like, that's my boyfriend. That's the sheriff. It's just this wild story. I just love these kind of interpersonal,
This is a Facebook post by Cecily Steinmetz. She says, Chief Jason Collier is living a double/triple.
Triple life.
That's a double-triple life. And he says, I was his girlfriend until yesterday. He lied to me and presented me with a fake annulment. She's really going in.
A lot of time. Not a mask in any one of these pictures.
Well, pictures can't breathe. I also found out about a second girl, Christy, last night. He lied to us, our children, and asked us both to marry him. Wow. And then, you know what the biggest diss is? She says, he is a poor representative. He is a poor representative of your town.
Well, it seems to be he also kind of sort of lied about getting shot on the job, where he said he got quote unquote, a guy that he worked with did get shot, and he got hit with quote unquote bullet fragments, which might have been true, but they said that he kind of trumped it up. That's one thing. And then
he
also
went to the same Starbucks with the same people.
And then guess what came up right
and
after
he
this
took
blog
the same
post?
Picture.
And when the blog post came up, guess what happened?
What?
Katie Barry Carter, another woman, came forward and says, he's also my boyfriend.
Whoa.
So he's got three. How does he have the time?
Oh.
And I'm going to say this to you again. All y'all ladies, men out there, just know this. If your partner out of nowhere starts getting real hot, Because if you look at these pictures here, he obviously lost about 30 pounds. He definitely lost from this picture with Opal until this picture with Cecily. He's definitely lost about 30 pounds. If your partner out of nowhere just starts getting jacked and you don't know why, and it's not, you're not Kumail Nanjiani, you don't have millions of dollars coming in to make you jacked.
Well, it could be to get healthier, perhaps.
But I mean, like, if it kind of comes unprompted and all of a sudden they're dressing better and doing all this shit and spend a lot more time being super late at work, they are making moves to get away from you.
It is possible.
So start putting... You got to start putting, like, I'm not going to say poison.
But what if your partner,
I'm going to say, like, an
X-lax.
You want to hobble him a little bit physically. I'm going to say this. You want to hobble him physically. I'm not a lawyer. You want to hobble him physically and then start to go through their phone while they're sick.
No, I don't think that's a good idea. I mean, all these things you could do on your phone because they seem to be posted to public profiles on Facebook.
He's not good at this.
No, he's very bad.
Yeah.
Would you think
as a sheriff, you think you'd be better?
Well, I think he felt cloaked in the power of the badge, perhaps. Mm.
This podcast is brought to you by Squarespace. Finding work-life balance can be tough, but Squarespace gives you the tools to reach your goals and have time to celebrate. Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. With the new guided design system, Squarespace Blueprint, you can select from curated layout and styling options to create a personalized website optimized for every device. Get your website discovered fast with integrated, optimized SEO tools. Plus, make checkout easy for customers with easy-to-use payment tools. And with Squarespace AI, you can explain what your site is about, choose your tone, enter what you need, and get auto-generated text. And that helps you save time. I know I'm sitting on about 2 literal wheelbarrows filled with horse pics. Now, part of the issue has been is a lot of these pictures are getting stopped at customs because some of them do depict various world leaders in horse-like circumstances that seems to be pinging a lot of these custom agents' accounts. Now, so what I've done to do is like, so while I'm trying to work on hand smuggling these horse pics over various country borders, I then also have time, because Squarespace is doing all the other ad work for me, to go and work on my killdozer at home. So thank you, Squarespace, for allowing me to diversify in the best way possible for this country. Head to squarespace.com for a free trial when you're ready to launch. Go to squarespace.com/left to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It says here I have to talk about something I need to get off my chest, and I guess I can share it here. I eat mayonnaise for fun. It's a hobby of mine, and it's an addiction. And it's a daily weight on my life, how much I need whipped egg whites and oil crammed into my veins. As soon as I wake up, and a lot of people carry around a lot of different stressors, big and small. Some people are presidents. Some people are soldiers. Some people have to eat mayonnaise, especially with hard-boiled eggs, which is what I eat for lunch. But I guess I should share that in therapy, because therapy is a safe place to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. And what I do is I just add eggs if I have mayonnaise left over. I just continue to add the eggs. But if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. I hope they can help me. My God. I hope they can help me. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/lastpod today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp. HELP.com/lastpod.
1 in 5 Americans have learned a new language on their bucket list. If that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off the list with Babbel. Be a better you in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Don't pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors. It's a waste. Don't waste hours on apps. Besides appetizers, that's the kind of apps I like. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Did you know that empanada is already Spanish? I didn't. Thanks, Babbel. Did you know that burrito is already Spanish? Wow. I just got to learn all the rest. And eventually, I'm going to be eating downtown Mexico. Thanks, Babbel. Here's a special limited time deal for our listeners. Right now, get 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/left. Get up to 60% off at babbel.com/left, spelled BABBEL.com/LEFT. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Well, let's talk a little bit. Speaking of people who have power that probably don't need power and have since had waning power. Let's just talk a little bit about Alex Jones. We don't discuss him very often. It's
not
a quick
anymore.
Story, but just a bit of an update. Remember Sandy Hook? Big if true. That's what he said. Big
yep.
if true.
I do remember Sandy Hook. Yeah.
I know we're brave
every
on this
day.
Show.
Every day.
I actually think about it quite often. If you think about how sad it is with the 26 people that were murdered there, many children, six years old. Imagine that.
Yes.
Very sad. Well, Alex Jones, he can officially be sued the parents of the children who were killed because, of course, he said that those parents were crisis actors. And then he had those parents hunted by his Neanderthal fan base, a bunch of freaking unshowered, unlaid, disgusting, cream cheese filled marmots.
But honestly, if you want to buy some merch, go to lastpodcastmerch.com. Honestly, if you're out there and you're looking for a new fan base, we're
here. Well, we will be your new fan base. I remember when I was filling in for Alan Combs on Fox News Radio, this young kid used to call with all the Alex Jones conspiracy theories, and he would be like, it's all true. And I really hope that I changed his mind. And hopefully, the deposition where Alex Jones had to admit that he is nothing more than a showman, aka a conman, helped that cause as well to degrade his power. 20 first graders and six educators killed in Sandy Hook. They can now, or the parents rather, can now sue Alex Jones for defamation, calling it a giant hoax. And hopefully, and I don't like canceling bullshit, whatever, but Alex Jones purposely did this. It would have been so much easier for him not to hound the parents of dead kids. Like, so much easier. I always wake up every day and be like,
he's lost everything. Lost the whole plot. He admitted it. He fucking dropped character. He Alex Jones is no longer relevant.
And now he doesn't know what to do with Q. You talk about a dumb effing Dr. Frankenstein.
Yeah.
He created a more dumb monster than Frankenstein's monster, and now he has no idea what to do.
He created all this shit, and he has no control over it anymore, and he's just lost the plot. He's not in charge anymore.
So this is Alex Jones trying to reel back his entire radio career. This is what he said in March 2019. He says, I myself, you can do it. You can do it in Alex Jones' accent.
Yeah.
I guess I can. I myself.
Perfect.
Perfect. All right, who doesn't matter? I myself have almost lost all forms of psychosis back in the past. Where I basically
perfect.
Thought,
this is great. Here we go. I'll try. Honestly, it was a.
It is hard.
That's for your SNL reel.
I myself. No, that's.
I myself have almost had like a form of psychosis.
We're just doing Southern.
Back in the past. I mean, that's him. Where I basically thought everything was staged, even though I'm now learning a lot of times things aren't staged.
Thank you, Alex
Jones.
Sure,
great.
So
good work.
Sandy Hook, but isn't that a nice coming of age story?
Yeah, but he still won't specifically say that it's all real. He still won't do it on his show. He'll do it in court, but he won't do it on his show.
Oh my God,
which
and
is
by
like,
the way.
Which I don't understand. You could just, with conspiracy theories, that's what I never understood about these guys that double down. Like, you always can just move the goalpost to another thing. Why destroy your whole conspiracy theory career by doing this? Like, you could have let the fucking, you could have let it go a long time ago and have had moved on into other conspiracy theories and propagate them and do other things, be more diversified. And this is a lesson about diversification in media.
Oh, I agree.
Here's
according
another
to
update.
One of the fathers, just lastly, he said, I held my son. He says he had a bullet hole through his forehead. The bullet exited through the back of his head where the wound was the size of a softball.
Yeah,
can
dude,
you
it's
imagine?
Awful.
All right. So anyway,
thank
good.
You, Kissel. That's great. Thank
no,
you.
No, it's important to remember that these are not crisis actors because there's still millions of people who think they are.
No, they are not. They are not. It happened.
And if they are actors, come on down to Hollywood, because they're great. They are honestly, they're amazing.
That'd be incredible. But honestly, I do like the phenomena of crisis actors. It is it's a fascinating topic that we will cover at one point.
Have they ever been used?
I have no clue.
That's the thing. Because I get the idea.
I don't think so. Who knows? It's the media does frame things in a way that we don't fully understand. And obviously, things are done on purpose and edited and staged, and more likely than not, it's recreated. And then the problem is that then all of a sudden you're in this gray area where if they recreate it to try to make the moment that happened naturally again, you then immediately are saying, well, this is now fake.
And that, of course, is the fault of the media for allowing these things to have growth, because you do have videos that are classic, such as the CNN reporter in a canoe, like rowing, and then a guy walks past him.
Oh yeah,
and you're
yeah,
like,
yeah,
can you just not? Why lie about the dumb shit?
It makes everybody not trust you.
Exactly.
That's what happens. This is an update that said apparently there's. Remember that story we covered with sexual liaisons with the aliens when we did that episode? I want to say last year.
Every day I think about that. Yeah.
The story of Peter Corey, who's apparently the guy that was awoken This was in the late 90s in Sydney, Australia. He was awoken by what appeared to be two females, both striking an unearthly, kneeling on his bed. And then he got his world rocked by this. But when he woke up, do you remember he had a painful human hair? Like, it was wrapped so tightly around of his dick.
Yes, I remember that. Now I remember it.
And it said that it was some form of very rare human rural Asian DNA. He's like rural China. Well, you just cover yourself in coffee. It is nice though to see. It does look like you've been drinking out of a bowl of shit with your fucking mustache. Oh my god, it's just like I'm next to fucking.
Can we continue on with the story, please? Yes, I've just spilled coffee all over myself.
You got it, Donnie Jr. but apparently, this DNA might have matched the Betty and Barney Hill abduction case.
Oh.
They believe that some DNA may have found on the dress of Betty Hill that they think matches the same hair that was wrapped around the cock of Peter Corey. Isn't that weird? There's really nothing else to that story.
You know, it is weird. You know what, Henry? It's weird. That is weird.
Yeah. It's nothing else to that story. It is that.
So the cock hair is the same hair that was found at the scene of Betty and Barney Hill.
Yep.
Wow.
They don't know.
Well, speaking of weird, Henry, this story is for you.
Weird.
You know dog food?
No.
You don't know dog food?
No clue.
You don't know dog food?
No. Explain it to me.
Dog food is a food that is consistent with a dog's diet. It makes them healthy. Humans shouldn't eat it, although you can if you are really hungry.
I eat food.
Most of it is food or human safe. Anyway, they have factories to make said dog food. This is coming in from the Daily Star. This is powerful. It's about a dude named Paul Froggatt. Horrified dog food factory worker saw. This is true because he said he saw it. And if you can't trust someone who makes dog food, who can you trust? He said he saw a 7-foot telepathic alien mantis, and he saw it while he was cycling home.
It happens.
It happens. And he drew a picture of it.
That's pretty cool.
That's pretty cool. It's of a praying mantis. He said it was evil and it was telepathic.
Where is this from?
This is coming in from dogfoodfactory.com. And he said that
you're reading an article from dogfoodfactory.com.
No, this is from the Daily Star. Every day there's a new star. And today it's this loser. So
the main thing is that, so you led by saying, do I know what dog food is? And then you're saying
a man who worked at
the dog food factory who saw an alien on a bicycle. 7-foot
telepathic alien who worked at the dog food factory. He was bicycling home because he likes to save lives, not just at work, but also with emissions.
The alien worked the factory.
No, the person did. The alien doesn't have a job. It's a 7-foot freaking telepathic brain mantis.
You don't know if it doesn't have a job.
What doesn't have a job?
I don't know if that alien has a job or not. Yeah, it might have been around during a weekday biking, but honestly, no. It could work in the fucking, like a graphic designer.
The mantis wasn't biking. The dog food worker was biking.
What was the mantis doing?
The mantis was being a mantis. It was praying.
It's very
religious.
What do you think it sounds like? It's actually pretty
probably
accurate.
That. So, the man, he said he fled after stumbling across the creature as he cycled through a woodland near Warwick. This is what he had to say, and he is, someone who works with dog food, so he's trustworthy. He says, it sounds crazy, but I felt like I could sense its feelings towards me, and it was just like pure alien hatred.
Why did he hate him?
I don't know why.
Hey, that long hair.
He goes on to say, you know when you're watching a David Attenborough documentary and you see a spider eating a fly and just a malevolent sense of evil?
Yes.
apparently it was like that.
I don't feel that they are evil. I don't think spiders are evil. No.
I don't, whenever I see
any, I love spiders.
I just actually watched a very funny thing on Instagram. It was pretty cool. It was of a lion licking a little Pumbaa. Those little piggies, and you're like, oh, that's kind of cute, but then the lion just eats it.
Yeah, that's very cute.
Because that's what they do.
I'll eat them. Yeah, I mean, Nat and I get into arguments all the time about it because I always root for the predator, and then she gets mad when the elk gets eaten in the nature documentaries. But whole thing is the predator needs to eat,
and also the elk has killed many, many things as well. The elk doesn't. You think that elks are peaceful?
I think elks are vaguely peaceful. They eat plants.
They eat. Plants can feel, number one. That's why I don't mow the ground. And that's why I don't mow the grass.
Yeah, I know. That's why you don't eat salads.
That's why I don't eat salads. You dumpy shithead. But yes. Anyway, he says, just lastly, he says, on a Thursday morning, this is the man again cycling. He says, and who saw the praying mantis? He said, on a Thursday morning at 5 a.m., I was cycling home from work. He was doing the night shift to make sure our dogs are fed. Isn't that sweet of him?
I think that he's the bravest person we've talked about today.
Thank you. He says, 5 a.m., cycling home from work. And he says, and I saw something odd in the sky. It was a glowing orange sphere just hovering on the horizon. At first, I thought it was Venus or a satellite, but then it seemed to be much closer than either of those things. And then he's like, it's a freaking alien. So there's something going on in Warwick where everyone who works at a freaking dog food factory is seeing aliens.
It's cool. He's bored.
He kept cycling.
Yeah, man. He just left with it. Yeah, he was like, he saw it and he was done with it. Yeah. Yeah, obviously he was in that, but we went straight to the Daily Star.
He said it sent chills down his back.
Well, if he's listening to the show, you send me a description of this alien. I want to hear about from your fucking mouth. Side stories, LPOTLG@gmail.com.
Well, that's what he says. He says it was a 7-foot light green triangle.
I want to see his face talking about it.
Big oval black eyes, and it had all the features of a mantis, but stood on two legs, and somehow he had a human-like shape about it.
I want to hear his side of the story. I want to see his face when he's telling it. That's how I know when someone's telling it. I'm a human lie detector.
He is. There's more quotes in this article than I have ever seen in my entire life. So this man is talking. He knows what he saw. And he is going to tell his truth despite skeptics like you, Henry Zebrowski, who don't believe people just because they have jobs that are lesser than in your purview.
You're attacking me. I love what he's doing. I think that's the best part of the story is the fact that I now know that that man is at the dog food factory.
Isn't that nice knowing that only stable minds work at the dog food
factory? Only stable minds. You see this video, the guy with cerebral palsy tries robbing a jewelry shop with the gun in his feet?
You know, I actually wanted to make him hero of the week because...
But he's robbing a store. That's the problem.
But he has cerebral palsy, and he is using his feet for a gun with the gun. And
you're the proponent for guns
something.
For feet.
Just give him something. Give the guy a freaking half of the no, stuff is fake me, anyway.
If you have to deal with if a man with a disability is struggling to rob you, you should just like give him something.
Give him something.
You know
half
what?
Of the crap is
okay.
I'm looking at the jewelry store.
It's all covered by insurance.
It's all garbage.
It's all covered by insurance. You can just give it.
Anything behind the glass that you see at a jewelry store is trash.
It's incredible.
It's always in the back.
Yeah,
unless,
that's
of course,
how you
bought your wedding ring. It's a beautiful. I love Jared's. Go to Jared's.
You fucking. Yeah,
I don't know. People have to buy wedding rings, and it's expensive.
It is very expensive, and it's actually really sad. What people are held up to, like what the amount of money you're supposed to spend on an engagement ring. I believe the traditional amount of money you're supposed to spend on it is like 3 months' salary.
That's what they say.
It's insane.
To be like, oh, otherwise you don't love her. It's like, what if we just spend this on a vacation?
If the ring is a problem, the love will end up being a problem.
Absolutely. Who cares? Put a freaking little, what do you call those? Cracker Jacks. Get a Cracker Jack spider ring and then go on vacation.
Yeah, the whole thing is get to the honeymoon.
Although I do think that you make a proper case for that man being hero of the week, at the very least the case that I made that I'm now projecting upon you, because he does have cerebral palsy and he's using his feet to fire potentially a gun, which we have to like.
But unfortunately, we see the gap in the technology here where if he just had a gun that could be on his foot,
yep,
that person who owns a jewelry store might be dead.
Replace? Well, it replace might. The feet with guns. Why
just because
not?
He's a cerebral, just because he's got cerebral palsy doesn't mean he's not a, doesn't have like antisocial fucking personality disorder. He could be trying to fucking be the next Joker. He's just Joker from a wheelchair.
Yeah, well, I do have more sympathy for him because it is a very difficult thing. It's very difficult. Anyway, hero of the week, the actual hero of the week is a fellow named Chad Lalande. He is an amateur designer and he is an 18-year-old Pomeranian named Sienna. Sienna's having a hard time seeing because she's 18, which is
a
million years old. I was trying to be like, what? Seven times
but
18?
Especially in Pomeranian years.
It's a lot. So he says, I just saw a need and went out and I wanted to solve that need. So what was the need? Well, apparently Sienna kept on bumping into walls and door frames because she's
blind
an 18-year-old Pomeranian who was so freaking cute. So he made a 3D printed little safety device that fits around her head. So every time she bumps into a wall, it doesn't hit her. It hits the safety device and it goes boop. It's a safety hoop. And then she says, oh, there's a wall. And then it goes the other way. Lalonde said this isn't the first time he's created assisted devices for pups. There was a time when his sister's dog started having trouble walking, struggling to lift his feet so much that he would often tip over. Lalonde made him a set of boots that attached to the dog's harness.
That's so cute.
So this guy is doing nothing but good stuff with 3D printing. He's not printing vaginas. He's not printing guns.
He could print a vagina if he wanted to print a vagina.
You can print anything you want to, as far as I'm concerned, but be very careful because you ever see the movie that I'm totally blanking on with
In the
title?
Line of Fire.
Is that the one with Clint Eastwood?
With the wood guns.
With the wood. How did you know that?
John Malkovich.
How did you know I was thinking that?
I think
that?
About that movie like once a week.
But you can print that gun now.
Oh,
yeah. Plastic guns?
Ooh. Oh, no. It's going to be big.
It's very scary. So using the 3D printer, he got one of those. He got the holiday hoop. He got the hoop made. He had it made right in time for the holiday. He got six different versions of it so they can have fun. And so what just a wonderful story. Look at the six different versions. Kind of look like torture devices.
So it does look like torture devices,
but you know what? They're
cute.
Not.
And now Puffin is begging for scratches.
And now Puffin, who is watching with us, is begging for food. And it's very nice. Lalonde says, Sienna is still getting used to wearing it, but she complains less about it now. She's 18 years old and she may not be around much longer.
I can't
but if
wait.
If I can make her comfortable in the time she has left. All the better.
Once I have Alzheimer's, I'm just going to be bungee corded to various things around the house every day. I'm going to have like lines like they do for cave fucking spelunkers where I'm just going to have things attached to me so I don't walk too far.
That'll be great.
I honestly think it'll be
fun.
Cute.
Absolutely. So good job, Mr. Lalonde. Chad Lalonde, you are hero of the week.
Congrats. Here's an update on that Richard Dreyfuss story. Remember I tell you how he was ranting and raving at that history thing that people mm-hmm. like left the stage? Someone sent more details of what he was screaming about. There's a couple of pictures that was sent to me where he is coated in sweat. He is wildly gesticulating. I don't know if you can see this. He is very wet. He apparently went ham.
What was he upset about?
I have no fucking clue. He was at this thing called the National History Symposium. It was for the History Channel. So this is what he says. He ranted about how Abraham Lincoln was one of the worst presidents in all history and proceeded to tear apart the Gettysburg Address. Then he went on to pitch the new civics course he was teaching, in addition to how he wanted to establish a New York City-based train that would allow him to take rides with his good friends, such as Barbara Streisand. The train would give them a space to talk about issues.
Called the subway.
All audience members
He wants a New York City train? I can get you an effing train.
All audience members entered a highly competitive raffle to attend this limited seating event. Richard urged the audience to change the channel if they didn't like what they saw, which encouraged a large Catholic school group to leave. They seemed offended. I remember the moderator looked like she was about to vomit.
Wait. I don't understand why he was there. I don't know what this was.
Why does he want
a private train with Barbara Streisand?
Why does he hate the Gettysburg Address?
Why does he hate Abraham Lincoln?
I don't know. There's a lot going on in there.
I mean, I'm sure that there is a true history of Abraham Lincoln that would not look kindly.
He was still a president. All presidents are fucking pieces of shit.
And I'm sure if he came back to modern day, he'd be quite good. He'd have some issues.
Well, yeah.
But
he wasn't like anti-slavery. It just bummed him out.
It was just.
It was bad. He had to fix it.
It was politics. And I just don't know why We don't need to take him down now.
I don't know.
He's dead.
Pleasure Drivers is just, you know, let him have his opinions. He's old.
Okay.
And if you paid for a ticket to see him, that's the show you get. You buy the ticket, you take the ride.
What do you think Kurt Cobain, see, I think about this all the time. Gone too soon. I'm not happy that he's gone. But what do you think Kurt Cobain would be doing right now?
I think he'd be in his Paul Simon world music phase.
You don't think that he would have gotten attached to any political movements or attached himself to any more controversial, I'm going to call it alternative thinking?
My greatest hope for Kurt Cobain that he would just become like a David Byrne, where he just starts like wearing the little African hat and like having the whole band, like doing that kind of stuff where it's like he goes more into world music and it's a little bit more maybe some electronic music, like just something like that where he just kind of became, that's my projection for my kind projection for him is that he becomes more like a Moby.
You know, I could see that. I think he was a cool guy. I think he was relaxed.
He was very liberal. He was super.
Well,
like,
but these things change.
I mean, who knows? It depends on whether or not he got mad if he, like, you know, if he got quote unquote canceled and started to like fight for his alt-right audience. I mean, who fucking knows?
Anyway, interesting thoughts, though.
Who knows? Who knows? I recently learned about crows, given Ben's question, what good do crows do? I like a lot of
more
weirdos.
Hard-hitting questions coming from me. Hold tight.
Oh, yeah. Like, a lot of weirdos in Portland, Oregon, decided to get backyard chickens during the pandemic. I had never raised any birds and started on the local online forums to get advice. Everyone said the best way to protect your chickens from aerial predators, hawks, eagles, osprey, is to attract crows to your yard.
Okay.
And apparently, you know, like, you just get a bunch of milkshakes in there.
Is that what you do?
Milkshakes, brought my crows as the yacht.
Oh,
apparently, murders of crows have come. Kill me. Kill me.
Horrible.
I got the show must end. This episode of this show must end.
You are so bad at this.
Apparently, murders of crows do not fuck around, and if you feed them regularly, they will defend your yard like their own. I was skeptical about this at first, but figured, hey, I'm throwing bird seed for the chickens, so why not feed the crows, too?
Is it different?
I don't know.
Okay.
So every morning, my chickens hang around and peck at seeds with the local crows. Avian peace in Rose City. Then one day, I'm walking my dog down the street, and I literally see 50 plus crows dive bombing straight towards my house. I've never seen such a big black cloud.
That's
just pawing like maniacs. I ran home to find the crows had straight up massacred a hawk right outside my chicken coop. Tore it apart. That's fucking dope. My chickens were shocked and unharmed. That's fucking awesome.
So the crows like the chicken.
Well, they like being fed, and they don't like having the other bird show up.
But they don't mind sharing the feed with the chicken.
Oh, fuck, I don't know.
That's kind of cute.
It is cute as hell.
But it's a bald eagle, you've just committed a federal crime.
Apparently. But yeah. They're scavengers, though. They're bad hunters.
Honestly, it should have been the turkey, but I like the bald eagle, though. You know, it's also extremely blind.
Yeah, it's not a great bird.
It's a horrible bird, apparently.
It's a horrible bird. Looks nice, though.
I guess. It looks scary as hell.
It's the Selena Gomez of birds. Looks good. Not talented.
You want to say that out loud?
Jesus.
She's, I'm not sure if she's developed yet.
She's like 30 years old.
I know. She's very tiny.
What?
I don't trust these Hollywoods.
I don't like baby faces.
No,
I don't
that's
like
with the
baby
Hollywood.
Faces.
Who's scouting these kids?
Pedophiles.
See? Even Alex Jones was right about that.
That's it.
It was the one thing you got right.
I mean, yeah, there is a lot of pedophiles in Los Angeles.
Yes, there are.
If I can just throw a lunchbox, you see who jumps up to catch it.
I was looking at cool different things I could put on my truck, like in an apocalypse. Mm-hmm. You can get like a big wedge. We're going to get all these pedophiles together, wedge them, drive through the truck.
You got a snowplow like front?
It's like that, but it was on a comical website. I actually don't even know where it was. But you can get it for your truck, theoretically.
Cool.
And then, yeah, it's supposed to hurt a bunch of people in a mob sense. I think about it, it could probably be used for horrible things.
Yeah, it's for crowd control, and that's neutral. Crowd control is a neutral statement.
Yeah, I guess depending on the crowd.
Yep.
All right. Well, thank you all so much for listening.
What a perfect episode.
Another perfect episode. I didn't spill coffee all over me, but I did. The problem with my coffee is, and you can see it here, Henry. I'll let the audience know.
Yeah,
see, the milk has curdled.
Yeah, yeah. I see the lumps in it.
That is why I had.
Oh, you were avoiding it. Now it's in your mustache.
And now it's in my mustache.
You don't want to watch it.
Because the milk had curdled, and I didn't realize that we didn't have the fresh milk.
Well, anyway. Just another quarantine fucking tragedy.
Yep.
And that's why you just got to get used to it. We actually should address something, because I think right now people are probably getting various messages about the tour.
Oh, yes. My God.
We are not happy. We basically spoke with the venues last week, and they said that they are essentially, because there's no way, I guess, to do it safely because of the previous administration's lack of any sort of plan to take care of anyone. There's just the fact that there has not been a any sort of vaccine rollout or any of this kind of bullshit, and we're just now starting everything. Obviously, everything is now getting pushed deeper into the year, so the dates that we had pushed from May to June, it looks like, I mean, we were just told that we're being canceled, but I also know for a fact that we are doing it out of fucking, honestly, the goodness for everybody's heart. We can't hold on to your money anymore. We want you to have the money back, and it's not safe to do touring until at least August, until everybody can get the fucking vaccine. So what I would say is, honestly, we just, or enough people can get the vaccine that it's safe enough for us to all be in the same room together. But again, we're not remotely happy about it. And it's great.
Puffin is thrilled because I get to hang out with him more.
I know. Wendy
so
loves it.
Yeah. Jerry and Puffin are both happy as hell. But yeah, we'll figure that out.
We have dates already now in place that are going to stick. We are going to be able to announce those soon. They're coming out. It's the last quarter of this year. We're going to be out there. But we can't tell you how heartbroken we are, obviously. It was one of our favorite things that we get to do. We're going to move on. I mean,
we have to. We have to move on.
We don't have any fucking choice.
But the nice thing about time is I've heard it continues to tick into the future, doesn't it?
It keeps on ticking, 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 almost any relentlessly so. Almost to the point where you live every day and you think you're 18 years old, and every day you consider, but like, on some level, I think I'm young. And then you you see your body and how it's changed, and your face and how it changes.
Right, that's always kind of a surprise.
And it's not just laugh lines, because, you know, I do laugh quite a bit, but also I frown a lot.
Those are frown lines are bad, too.
Some are bad, but you know what? I have to understand, you have to learn to love whatever it is you're going through. So, yes, now, are we necessarily happy about our position in life? No, but we have to do the fun pandemic thing, where just because our lives weren't totally, completely, because our lives weren't totally devastated, and everybody else whose lives who just weren't totally devastated this last year, they get to actually just be fine. So we can be thankful for that, the fact that we are fine and we are healthy. We haven't, you know, not all of our family members have been terrorized by this disease. And so for those of you that
really
have,
giving a Thanksgiving speech here,
I really am.
Very nice.
For those of you that have, truly.
It sounds like you're getting winded saying all these kind of positive things.
But I just want to say straight up, for those of you that have, we feel an immense sympathy towards you, and we're just here. We're just trying to fucking make yucks as much as possible, and we're going to be doing it on stage as soon as fucking we can responsibly do it.
As soon as we can. We will be with you, and we cannot wait. All right, everyone. Hail yourselves!
Hail Satan.
Magustalations.
Hail me.
All right. We'll see you on the open range.
It sounds like we're hunting them.
This show is made possible by listeners like you. Thanks to our ad sponsors, you can support our shows by supporting them. For more shows like the one you just listened to, go to lastpodcastnetwork.com.
For 25 years, nothing has tasted better after a hard day's work than a Mike's Hard Lemonade. It's because since day one, Mike's has been making lemonade the hard way. We use 3 kinds of lemons, all hand-picked from family farms, then blended to perfection in cold press to create the epic hard lemonade you know and love. Mike's Hard Lemonade. Hard days deserve a hard lemonade. Mike's is hard, so is prison. Don't drive drunk. Premium all beverage with flavors. All registered trademarks used under license by Mike's Hard Lemonade Company, Chicago, Illinois.
Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.